Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring.
Ja, vir Afrikaans, that's a Dwight thing. Welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and as always, we're here until the hour of 6 on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. The weather is perfecto where I find myself here in the capital, but I'm told the north is pouring. It's pouring. It's raining cats and dogs. Yeah, every time I use some of these expressions, I always just think about how ridiculous they would sound in my language. It's raining cats and dogs. Can you just try translating that in your mother tongue? And yeah, well, you're somewhere very far from home where you work, and you are now just, catching up with your parents or siblings at home. You're speaking your mother language because that's how you are proud of it. And they ask you, what's the weather like there? Because it's very hot here, and you're like, well, it's raining cats and dogs. Now, from, yours truly here, now, in my own language, in Timbuktu, this is how it would sound. Yikes! Every Bukusho Kavango listening that understands that now is just brawling on the floor. Like, what the heck is that supposed to be? But in English, it makes sense. So, wherever you find yourself, the update, more like the message of the stern warning, basically given by pouring weathers is one of, even if you know your how do I put this, you don't know your car, never underestimate the current that's coming from rainwater, flowing water, especially one that's carrying debris, which is more often what's flooding rainwater carries, and a lot of it, and you are driving. First of all, you are not qualified to drive in that weather. You are basically off-road. And you also got your license from places we, you know, we don't want to mention because I don't have bodyguards. So just, be careful. The motto is, especially when it comes to, you know, when it comes to your stroll here, the motto is to arrive alive. It's better to arrive late than to arrive being called the late. I'm so proud of me. It's how creative I come up with these things. I know, why does he like to say that to himself? Just wait for others now. Most of you are jealous. You won't even congratulate someone on their wedding day. You know, if I wish that was me. You're very glued to, I wish that you don't have time to appreciate people's efforts and, you know, be happy for people around you. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is the car industry. The automotive industry and what's going on in the world of energy update, because the main source of reference in today's Home Run show is coming from the International Energy Agency, and for the millionth time, because this is not me reminding you, this is also me reminding me that there's a difference between the International Atomic Energy Agency and the International Energy Agency. International Energy Agency, their mandate is basically everything global, actually member state related type of things. They basically do everything energy overall. But the International Atomic Energy Agency, they are also just into energy. As to, you know, that's primarily what they do, what they look at mostly on a global stage, hence the international part of the abbreviation, which is what the I stands for. But the International Atomic Energy Agency focuses more on atomic energy, aka they're just more interested in nuclear. They just zone on that. Now, today we are looking at the International Energy Agency. And last month they held a discussion where they looked at the car industry, the automotive industry basically, and the direction that's taking since we live in a world where everything is radically changing on a daily basis, thanks to also to things like technological advancement and also energy transition, especially hence the energy part of the discussion. It points to the energy transition discussion. Here's the thing. Why am I bringing this up? Well, for one, like every normal guy I know, I love cars. And, I would like to, I really like the whole, industrialization discussion, which is what, not just Namibia, but a lot of African countries are also looking at, which is the discussion of, we would like to industrialize. We want to be an industrialized nation at some point. Now, in April of this year, if you are the eVillager subscriber, then you saw this. You saw this coming up. You must have read an article that was published by The Villager on the 11th of April 2025 about Namibia, about Namibia and Lesotho showing interest into taking the direction of automotive industry. One that was written by yours truly, Dwight Links, and points that Namibia and Lesotho are actively exploring ways to tap into the potential of the automotive manufacturing sector. Both countries, under the support of the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, UNECA, un momento, s'il vous plaît, UNECA, working to, the two countries were looking, aka Namibia and South Africa, Namibia and Lesotho, not South Africa. Namibia and Lesotho were looking at, how they can basically, we're looking at if we can take the route of industrialization, because industrialization can basically, as we all know, mean a lot of things. Basically, you're talking about manufacturing, and manufacturing you can manufacture a lot of things. Hardwares. Pretty much everything hardware, from your microphone, your electronic components, to your computers, your laptops. Although, I wouldn't actually say that you can manufacture a laptop, a computer. You can manufacture the components. Then you can assemble those components into a cell phone. Because this is basically, a bunch of components that are put together. So when they say, manufacturing a car, I'm going, this is just me. The first thing that comes in my head, I'm like, are you really manufacturing a car or you are assembling? Because, cars, like every machine is made up of a lot of parts. These parts are the ones that are manufactured from a lot of different places, and then they are brought together at the assembly plant, hence the assembly part. This is where you are basically welding together, the doors are manufactured by this company, the glasses are made by this company, the tires are made by this company, the rims and the cables and the electronics are made by this company. Now, at the assembly plant, the job of those guys is basically bring all those parts together and connect them in a way that they are able to, they are able to work together in cohesion to basically, execute the tasks that they are individually intended to execute. Take your components, for example. The button that you are pressing for, the button that you are pressing to wipe your windows. It's a piece on its own, and the electronic components that's making that button communicate with your wiper is manufactured somewhere else, and your wiper itself is made out of mostly the metal part, and there's the rubber part because you don't want the friction between the metal part and your glass. That's basically gonna ruin it. So all these are individual parts that are manufactured by mostly individual entities. That's why manufacturing is how you create employment. Because once you allow, if you just look at a car as one individual machine, you will have trouble understanding the significance of manufacturing to an economy and how it contributes. How it contributes not only to employment but also to the overall economy, and how why automotive manufacturing, or how do I put this? Manufacturing cars, manufacturing countries, not just countries that manufacture cars, but countries that manufacture pretty much anything that needs manufacturing. Employment, most of their employment sector is coming from their manufacturing sector because of just how much people are needed to work in an industry that manufactures one component of a machine. One component. Take something that, that's more often overlooked on a part of a car, for example. Your electronic component. About a couple of weeks ago, I was actually shocked to find out. I knew that, when BlackBerry left the handset, aka cell phone manufacturing business, they went into cybersecurity. It turns out they also went into software. Software that runs most of the, that's used in most of the cars today. If you have one of those modern cars that have that giant screen, chances are very high you have some, you're running on some BlackBerry softwares and you don't even know it. Talk about, soft power. Now, just do the first thing that I did when I came here. Because we are dealing with average here, because I didn't have, I don't have the technical, the automobile technical know-how to basically specify, on this brand of this model of this car, how many parts does it have? So I just decided to go, how many parts does an average car have? How many parts does an average car have? And one thing that I was able to now, one thing that I was one thing that I was I was you know I quickly ran into was that a lot of parts I've never heard of. So I decided to narrow it down to basically the ones that I have names that I can pronounce, because it turns out most of the, especially when you get into the electronic components part, everything becomes a lot. It's just a bunch of abbreviations. On average, just your average car, not less complicated, not more complicated. A car has approximately, that's a way of saying that, plus minus 30,000 parts, 30,000 individual parts. So, that means, when an average car is being assembled, that basically means that, about 30,000 parts are being brought together to make the final machine that you and I admire and like to cruise around in roads and, basically in, disobeying all the speed limits and running over the traffic lights. About 30,000 of those individual parts. And most, if not all of those are coming from different, are being manufactured separately. There's a whole supply chain for every single part that you see on a car. There is a whole supply chain for every single part that you see on your, that you see. Take, for example, on your computer keyboard, for example. You have the plastic part, and you have the tiny screws, even the painting that you see on your computer keyboard has its own supply chain. Someone is mixing it. Someone is melting some type of, synthetic or natural, chemicals to mix into that specific paint that's used for your computer keyboard or for your specific, for a specific screen protector that you're using on your phone or, specific, a phone case that you're using on your, that you're using on your phone. So when you look at manufacturing, for example, you begin to realize just how much employment is hidden in there. And then you're like, all right, how about we just drop everything, all this agriculture initiative? I mean, who cares? I mean, once we break through in this manufacturing world, we'll just have enough, make enough money. Okay, create enough employment, make enough money. And then at the end of the, day, we will do what? We'll just import everything that we can produce agriculturally. Then you begin to run into some problems now. First of all, you have to figure out what are you planning on manufacturing. And we have explored several of those, especially thereby manufacturing. You have a tannery in Ndangwa. You have a textile, both of which have been standing dormant for a while now. Last time I checked, at least a couple of months ago, we have a textile piece of infrastructure that was if it was running, it would be one proud country because it was state funded, so state owned. Except we just bought a bunch of machines, put them together. It's like, now who is going to work in this textile industry in Kurenkuru? And then, well, in Timbukuchu we say, mehobui, which literally translates to all eyes are black. Again, it doesn't make sense in English. In Timbukuchu it does. What that means is, we didn't think that far. We knew that we needed a textile industry. Okay, we knew that we wanted to go the manufacturing direction. And then we just decided, you know what should we start with? So we decided to go soft first, you know, soft industries, aka your textile industry before you go, hard, aka, you know, in the direction of literally melting metals into specific components, parts for cars, computers, or aeroplanes, you know, like Rolls Royce, for example. You know, a lot of people don't understand why Rolls Royce actually, why they sell. They don't sell as much cars as, as other brands, and theirs are ridiculously expensive, and everyone's like, how do these guys make their money? Oh, maybe because their cars are expensive. No! For Rolls Royce, their cars are the side hustle. They make aeroplane engines for actually both Airbus and Boeing. Last time I checked, like, that's their main hustle. So next time you see a Rolls Royce, you have to understand that there's someone out there with so much money that the car you will be looking at is a side hustle. Can you imagine a Rolls Royce car being your side hustle? Your main hustle being aeroplane engines. You know what? I want to be that rich. I want to be that rich to the point of looking at a Rolls Royce and going like, you know what? You know, see that car that you're looking there? The company that makes those cars, that's my side hustle. My main one is, you see that plane? You see those four things that's sort of like protruding, below the wings? Yeah, those engines. Yeah, that's my main hustle. What the heck? But anyway, just think for a moment that there's someone out there with so much money. They look at a Rolls Royce car and say, the company that makes that, that's my side hustle. Well, you and I, our side hustle, you see, for you, not I, just for you. Your side hustle is scamming. Not mentioning any names, of course, not like I know any scammer before, the city police guys pops up here. But anyway, car manufacturing industry, why would we take interest in that? Because we're just playing the field here, trying to find our footing. You know, tannery, standing dormant, textile industry, standing dormant, Ramatex, but long story. Peugeot. How can I forget? Peugeot. Okay. That was not manufacturing, by the way. Assembling a French car brand with some French parts. Because we actually didn't make any of those, parts here. All you just have to do is picture all those 30,000 parts. Let's just be conservative. Let's say 10,000 of those parts that are that are being used to assemble a car that's being assembled in Namibia. All those 10,000 parts are made in Namibia. The supply chain, everything from the supply chain and the industries that basically build this, that basically build this individual 10,000 parts that makes up an average car's 30,000 individual parts are made in Namibia. So you are looking at 10,000 separate supply chains, give or take 10,000 separate supply chains. That's a lot of employment. And then that brings us now to two forks in the road, not one, two. Believe me, not one, two. One is the skills part. Actually, make it three. One is the skills part. It requires a lot of skills investment, and that translates into research and development. Two, copyright. Which is one of those problems you have to solve by, again, research and development. If you are not investing in research and development, which means you are using other people's technology, which you will have to pay for a lot, which we can do. It's not a problem. We can do. The third one being energy, which is going to be our main discussion for today. Energy. Any industry, to run any industry, you need a lot of energy. Industrialization translates to energy. Especially if you are talking about not soft but hard industries like manufacturing, manufacturing. Take car parts, for example. You literally have to mine that stuff, or you will have to get it from take for example, if you don't have copper and you need a lot of copper for your electrical wirings. Which would be very easy for us because, Zambia is our neighboring country. That's what I thought. Until you realize, yes, Zambia has the copper, but who is mining it? Is Zambia mining it? This takes us back to our Friday's discussions now, where I really have a problem listening to the discussions of we have the resources. Do we? It's just simple asking because it's, is it on the African continent? Sure. But, extracting it, the entities extracting the resources are more often foreign owned. But we're not going to go that direction because I decided to talk about the energy part. Maybe I'll come back to that. But, the energy part is the most important part because, a lot of energy is needed. Take for example, look at it from forget all the cars, all the metals melting plants and all those and how complicated they are. Just narrow that down in terms of energy. Just narrow it down to your kitchen. All you need is temperature that is around your body temperature to melt ice. Ice starts melting at around, 0 degrees, that's frozen around 4 degrees, 4 degrees, pardon my science, maybe off by a number or two, around 4 degrees, ice starts, basically ice, is it my, four or minus four? Zero is frozen. Oh yeah, minus four stops, contracting, starts expanding. It's one of those things that was my favorite part about the unusual properties of water. Usually when things are freezing, they contract, but water contract until minus four and then it starts, instead of contracting, it starts expanding. Is it a minus four or plus four? One of these two temperatures. Anything above 0 degrees for ice to start melting. But to boil water, you need a temperature higher than just 5 degrees. 5 degrees is going to melt ice. Yes. But it's not going to boil water. Now, that means if you are going to boil water, you need a hot plate. You need a hot plate that will crank everything up to 100 degrees. And then you basically, but water starts boiling. That's at standard temperature and pressure. If you are involved, but chances are very high it's going to boil at 100 degrees. If you are in the inlands, like places like Windhoek, chances are very high it's going to boil somewhere between 70, 80, 90, somewhere there. It's a science thing. Was my favorite until I discovered microphone and talking. Then it became secondary. So, manufacturing requires a lot of energy. A point of correction. Manufacturing requires a lot of affordable energy. Can you imagine, manufacturing 10,000 individual components, from 10,000, public or private entities, and all these entities are sucking energy from the grid to produce the components that they need to basically feed to feed your, a specific industry. That's a lot of energy. And it better be affordable for, commercial break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwa Fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye
matatu natatu hama felane Eagle FM the eye and welcome back to Home Run. The time is just a minute past the hour of 5 and this is Home Run on Eagle FM with yours truly Helmut. I know. So, where was I? The energy discussion. The question now, the International Energy Agency asks, especially as it relates to the future of the car industry, is what direction is this taking? Because we know that because of the Conference of Parties discussion and the global ongoing energy transition, it's hard to have to talk about any developmental discussion without taking the direction of what form of energy are we using. Starting next year, for example, if you were to manufacture everything, if you were to manufacture anything in Namibia, you'll have to really put energy at the center of that discussion if you have to start talking about manufacturing something, because you first have to look at which one is your market. Now, last time I checked, because of their enormous buying power, the EU is a very lucrative market that no business no business in their right mind would want to lose because of their enormous buying power. It's always it makes a lot of business sense to put them in your whatever business that you are trying to come up with. Because what's the point of targeting Helmut as your target market with an iPhone with an iPhone 14? I can barely afford an iPhone 6. So every time that you start making plans of trying to to produce a product to sell an individual or a group, you are either looking for a market that can afford the product that you are going to make, or if you are going low unless you are planning on going low end in your manufacturing, which is a good place to start. This Chinese company Transient helped us basically realize that instead of looking at the at the African market and going like, you know what, this market cannot afford this brand of a cell phone, and then you avoid them, the Chinese were like, how about just use the most affordable components that you can find so that you can produce an electronic component that is, that speaks to the, to the average earner of that specific market. Shout out to Transient. Okay. Now, if you're not, any more Transient, I will have to send them an invoice. So, because the EU is such a lucrative market, and they have the carbon border adjustment mechanism discussion that they are going to implement from next year, aka that CBAM. Basically, that's their way of saying that everything that you will send or sell to the EU market, you'll have to prove that you are producing it using green forms of energy, or you will have an extra levy imposed on you, or an extra tax imposed on you. So that would be, in our industrialization discussion, we'll have to put energy in place, not only in terms of its affordability and why it's significantly needed if you want to, to take the direction of industrialization, but also because one of the most lucrative market, aka the EU market, is one of the requirement that that they have for everyone that looks at them as a market, is that you'll have to prove, energy transition in mind when you are talking about your industrialization, funding your industrialization needs. You can go ahead and fund, you can go ahead and use non-green energy forms, but then you'll have to get ready to pay that extra, extra dollar on top if you want to access the EU market. And now, because of the energy transition and also, regional energy transition initiatives like the EU's carbon border adjustment mechanism, let's just call it CBAM from now on. That's just a mouthful. One thing that a lot of manufacturers, again, because of the lucrativeness of the EU market, everyone wants to access it. And the best way, hence this competition now of changing into environmentally friendly ways of doing things. Not just a way of doing things, but also environmentally friendly components that are being manufactured. Now, the whole environmentally friendly discussion is a very fluid one. I'm saying it's a very fluid one because environmentally friendly is not a black and white thing. By that, I don't mean one is for black people and one for white people. No, I don't mean that. What I mean is environmentally friendly indicates that it's not 100% green. I know that's, in the environment, in a green energy transition discussion, 100% green is thrown around a lot. Except, let's just be honest with ourselves, guys. It's impossible to find anything on this planet today. Not difficult. Like 99% impossible to find something that is 100% from green energy. If you find an electric car, you can say it's 100% green, but the tires. Okay, well, let's just go general on this one. The tired road it's running on, it's made out of crude oil. It has plastic parts that are coming from where? Crude oil. All those are byproducts of crude oil. You have a lot of, you have a lot of parts on an electric car that will point you to the crude oil discussion. Now, when we say, let's just start using the word in comparison. I like to use that instead of just going around saying 100%. To be politically correct, maybe, but factually, it's like saying, this box of sugar, how about this, in the early days of the, diet conscious days where people started worrying about their weights back in the 1950s, 1960s, when everything became, fat free this. If you look at your 1 kg of sugar, for example, if you come across one and it's written fat free, that's true. But what that means is it's fat free when it's in the box. When it's in your body, it's not fat free because anyone that did basic biology knows that your body cannot store sugar in its carbohydrate form. It will have to convert it to fats for it to store it, which is why, you know, that now start having, you know, that beer belly. It's not beer belly, it's a sugar belly. Now, yes, it's 100% fat-free in a box. But as soon as it gets in your body, well, that 100% fat-free begins to be very shaky in meaning. Science is really fun. Moving on. So, International Energy Agency is asking, what next for the global car industry? What is next for the global car industry in terms of energy? An energy technology perspective special report. This is one of the series of reports that basically was introduced, was implemented by, which were conducted by the International Energy Agency. And, they're just looking at the tech trends and what's happening in the world of technology, especially as it relates to energy. One thing that they basically pointed out was they're looking at the car industry or the automotive industry and the direction it's taking with regards to where does it how car manufacturing is factoring in the energy transition discussion. And how any institution or country that is looking at taking the direction of car manufacturing, or basically manufacturing in general, how they should make energy, energy discussion very central to their discussion, to that transition or to that decision of the car manufacturing. So before we continue on the other side, we're going to take a quick break. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. Thank you for tuning in.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. Global car makers, according to them. This report was basically made public, somewhere around 18. The live stream was basically held around that time. So the global car maker today is a key pillar of jobs and economic growth around the world. Well, we're also looking in that direction of, manufacturing cars. Don't laugh. It's achievable. Very achievable. But anyway, with deep links to energy, energy is is very central to this discussion. So, however, the shift to electric cars and falling price of batteries is challenging some of the industry long-held tenets, especially as new producers rapidly capture an increasingly large share of growing electric car makers. Now, the report that I'm going to use is titled "What Next for the Global Car Industry" report, which was released as part of the International Energy Agency's Energy Technology Perspective (ETP) series of reports that they publish annually. Now, the report is the report according to the International Energy Agency provides technology and market insights as well as strategic consideration to assist decision makers in government and industry, aka basically public and private sector industry, who are working to strengthen their competitiveness with the within the car industry. Commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. We continue. So what to put in mind for countries like yours truly, Republic of Namibia and Lesotho, you know, that whole, let's look into this industrialization thing. And also, well, now, a very simple way of looking at this as why it's a very, enticing. Why it's very enticing to basically take the industrialization route is because of what I pointed out earlier. Different pieces of machineries, like take for example your average car has about what? 30,000 car parts, all of which points to a lot of different what? Different supply chains. In other words, different industries. For those very dumb Android and Apple users that want, that are always on each other's throats about which brand is better than which one, what most of them don't know is that Apple and Samsung basically sell each other, they are competitors in the electronic industry, but they sell each other parts they use, and they are different in their different devices. This is something that I think it's actually worth, it's very important to, it's very important to realize that when it comes to sensors, Sony is the boss at that. So most smartphone cameras use Sony sensors, especially the high-end ones like your Apple. These Sony sensors. But when it comes to display, like your screen, Samsung is the boss at that. So, most of the high-end smartphones, they use Samsung displays. But, chips, Samsung tried Oxynos and it didn't end well. It did not end well. So for a lot of parts, I think from the Note 10 Plus of Samsung that I know for sure, from the Note series, I think from the Note 10 Plus, the Note 10 Plus came out with a Snapdragon 855 or 8 something, with a Snapdragon and Oxynos chips. Now the Snapdragon is made by, well, Snapdragon, and Oxynos. This was Samsung trying to sort of like create their own in-house electronic, in-house chips that they use on their devices. And now, even when they came, even when they brought up like two variants in terms of electronic, in terms of chips for, for the same brand, like, the Note 10, remember the Note 10, and then you have the Note 10 or 20,
S21, S22, S23, S24. I think they came up to 24, where they were producing Snapdragon and Oxynos variant. And now the thing is, the Snapdragon were mostly, last time I checked, only tailored for the American market. Everyone else got the Oxynos, which was slightly in terms of performance lagging behind of its Snapdragon variant. So a lot of people, especially outside the American market, you know, were not very happy with Samsung about that. So from the I think they ran with that up to S23. From the S24, I think they started just producing the, you know, just the Snapdragon. They decided to discontinue the, you know, they decided to discontinue, at least on a large scale, the Oxynos variant. So it's, well, they gave it a shot. And that's Samsung Electronics. And, oh, by the way, for Samsung also, the smartphones, that's a side hustle. Because Samsung basically makes everything around you. Your fridge, your air conditioning. And if you want to go to war, don't worry. They can sell you, you know, helicopter parts, you know, missile parts, tank parts. They'll sell you that. Yeah. War is very lucrative, one thing I've come to learn, because I swear every multinational company that I look at in terms of what they do, it's just a matter of time before I run into their military division. Like, one of the famous American Mason jar makers, jar makers like Mason. It is, now they make very nice, like preservative jars. I don't know if they even make that anymore, because I think at some point they decided, you know what? War makes a lot of money. They took the direction into the military industrial complex. Because, well, it basically turns out if you wanna make money, you may wanna look into killing some people. Look, it's not career advice, obviously. I'm just saying, when I look at a lot of multinational corporations and what they do, it's like everything that a lot of people know that they make is a side hustle. Their main hustle is most likely going to be found into the industrial, into the military division, which makes me go like, well, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? So, in the report that I'm going to be using today, it's a very long report. It's about, it's over 180 pages, actually 183, a soft copy I have, which is readily available. Well, it's public knowledge, so in case you want to basically look, go through it. So, they look at a bunch of things, some of which, well, it's not really our cake, because we are still automotive manufacturing and Namibia. We're still in talking stage. We haven't even had a hug yet, let alone a kiss and getting laid. We are nowhere near getting laid. We are still in talking stage with the manufacturing industry. Therefore, we just find something that is talking stage worthy. You know, manufacturing and us, we just exchanged the numbers. We just met. We're still in talking stage. Well, not into implementation yet. So they looked into, the global car industry in basically more like in general context, and then the importance of the growth EV sales. And part of that is what I pointed out earlier, that the reason why a lot of countries are taking a lot of entities that are looking into the automotive manufacturing, they are looking into EV or anything that is more in line with the global energy transition, is because of the markets like the EU that are very lucrative, that has the buying power of most of the things manufactured. They are very strict and very, very heavy on energy transition. Therefore, if you can make something that will show them that you are very serious, you are as serious as they are about energy transition, they will be like, sure, just hand it over. We're willing to buy it. And yes, they will buy it. Just ask Namibia's meat industry. Oh, they can buy. Just, you know, instead of saying, oh, your boss, just, you know, just, this is expensive, boss, it just reduces the, the EU, as long as they're satisfied, if you meet their requirements, they are the ones that will ask you, what's your price? Just name your price. We're willing to buy. And also, if you screw up, they're willing to fine you. Ex-AKA, former Twitter, was recently fined about 140 million in fine because of, because of their, their blue check, checker marks, and also, what's that, misleading their followers, and also, marketing, something, something marketing, and I'm suspecting something that has to do with targeted advertising and invasion of privacy. Because, tech companies are very notorious about that. But, don't quote me on that. One thing I know is that, the EU just fined, just recently fined Elon Musk's ex. Not Elon Musk's ex baby mama or girlfriend or whatever. Elon Musk's, ex as in the app. Or the social media platform. Yeah. Formerly known as Twitter. Was fined 140 million. The EU market has the buying power, but they have very strict regulations that you have to adhere to, or they'll be like, okay, fine, you can take it somewhere else. We're not going to buy it. Something that I think, Africa can, should really look into. We had to learn from a Swiss NGO that a Swiss company was adding extra sugar to an unhealthy amount in baby food sold on the African continent. Like, that's where our regulations, especially not just in Namibia, but the whole continent, becomes very questionable. We can't keep being told that something wrong is happening, is being done to us by foreign organizations. And at this point, you're asking yourself one question. Why does this keep happening? Oh, it's very easy. Just look at what's happening in Kenya right now with the Marriott group of hotels. And you'll understand why that is the case. It's because we are very easily bribed. Everyone is mad at, the Marriotts and the Carltons for building that resort at the major migratory crossing point in Kenya. Animal migration. Migratory crossing point in Kenya. Everyone is mad at that multinational corporation, but look, I'm one of those black people that wants, that likes to look at home first and make sure that before I start pointing at everyone who is coming from China, Europe, or wherever they're coming from, or America, I want to make sure that here at home, do we really have our affairs in order? And more often we don't. Every pan-Africanist is going bananas. No, these guys, I mean, this is just colonialism. And like, this is not colonialism. If this is colonialism, this is domestic colonialism, because for them to build that resort, again, for the millionth time, someone gave them a building permit. How questionable the decision was made is irrelevant. It actually goes to point to why the regulations don't really work very well. We have them impeccable on paper, but the thereby implementation, very questionable. So the importance of the growth in EV sales for the car industry, and in the report also look at the present and future perspective. The basically future projection of the electric car manufacturing. You see, when I read that point, I went like, oh, yeah. That explains a lot about the recently quote unquote peace agreement by DRC and Rwanda in the US. I lost hope on African leadership, guys. I really lost hope on African leadership. Rwanda and DRC. The president of Tanzania, questionable now than she was earlier this year, and the president of Zimbabwe, the president of Tanzania, Suluhu Hassan, and the president of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Mnangagwa, earlier this year, decided, from late last year to earlier this year, basically, they were trying to bring Kagame and Tshisekedi together so that they can basically discuss out, you know, sit and basically be grown up about the whole Western DRC thing. Let's sit and talk. What gave them the mandate? Suluhu Hassan being the head of the East African Community, an intergovernmental bloc like SADC is, which is under Emmerson Mnangagwa's leadership, they was like, okay, you know what? These are parents that are calling their kids together to come and basically, you know what? We are the parents here. You sit down and listen to us. Come here and explain to us how did this fight start? They didn't show up. African Union. Annual African Union Summit in the early days of 2025. Tshisekedi attended via Zoom. These guys would do anything than sit in the same room on the African continent. I was like, okay, this must be so bad. Man, my God, this tension. Whatever we're going to do. The Qatari called them. They responded to that call. The Americans called. They responded to that call. I don't have a problem with that. The biggest problem I have is these are the very same people that are meeting every year at the African Union going like, we want African independence. I'm like, really? Do you? No, you don't. By mouth, yes, you do. But the things that you are doing is making me go, fine. I'm not here to, who am I kidding? I am here to judge. We can't solve our own problems as Africans. That's the message I am getting. Not you, I mean, you make your own decision. We can't solve our own problems as a continent. We always need a savior. And look, as a comedian, I can't help but think of it in the direction of, that savior is Donald Trump, people. Donald Trump. Not Mnangagwa, not Suluhu Hassan, not Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah. Donald Trump. Yeah. You know that silencing of the guns that was a goal of the African Union that, you know what, by 2021 we've silenced the gun and failed miserably. Well, Trump was like, well, I can do better. I will silence the guns for you. And now that silencing on the other hand is going to, remains to be seen. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy with whatever that will provide a solution to people not dying anymore. Because the Western DRC situation, is especially late last year to early this year, it was ugly. So if there is a solution to bring that bloodshed to stop, I'm good with that. But, when we come to the part of, we want the independence. No, you don't. Because if you can't clean your own house, if you always need someone to help you clean your house, if you always need, a savior from outside your continent to come and help you clean your own house, I don't know. My favorite part, which is still the biggest question for me, is if M23 is just a bunch of rebels running around trigger happy, and I did not see them being represented at this quote-unquote peace agreements, just how legitimate is that peace agreement? The Washington Accords. Okay. What do I know about diplomacy? Okay, I know one thing about diplomacy. Diplomacy is about lying to each other. Embassies is about spying on each other. Everyone that basically does politics understands that. It's just that in diplomatic terms, you can't talk about it, which is why I like my seat here, you know, at Eagle FM, because I can point this out without someone saying, oh, be very careful. What, you know, well, donors are not going to like that. You know, I've had a friend of mine that worked for, you know, that worked for an NGO. And at some point, updated his status with a very, you know, with one of those point of views that are, you know, that are very controversial but true with regards to economic independence on the African continent. Oh boy, did he get a call from his boss like, well, take that down. What do you think our donors are going to say? I'm like, ha! Sorry. They, you know. You have to understand, what I'm doing for me is not a job. It's a passion. So I get a little bit too excited. Look at it in a way of, I literally get paid to do what I love. You have no idea how fun that is. Unless you do what you love. So the pathways of global EV cost competitiveness, because, as we speak, the energy transition is a brilliant idea. Energy transition in terms of transport, aka EVs, that's a brilliant idea. Except they are still ridiculously expensive compared to their traditional internal combustion engine counterpart. So a lot of people, especially monetary wise, it makes a lot of sense to buy a traditional internal combustion engine in a lot of countries, price wise and incentive wise. Compared to buying an EV, because EVs are ridiculously expensive. Take, for example, a car that is the size of your Nissan Demio. If you find a Nissan Demio if you find an EV version right next to an internal combustion engine version, you are going to see that the EV version is most likely going to cost like 2 times the price of the internal combustion engine. So anyone that wants to save money, especially in the world with ever rising cost of living, is going to buy the one that is cheaper, which is more often the internal combustion engine. So the incentiveness, more like the making the energy transition, especially for car buyers, more reasonable in terms of price. Car manufacturers are just recently trying to slowly factor that in. Yeah. Quick break, then we can continue on the other side. Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM.
Goeie nuus, Inbird nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Inbird te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3-maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6-maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12-maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Imba, ons teken vandag. At least that was, you know, that's what I heard. And before you judge me, I know my Afrikaans is on fire. Now, we have 22 minutes before I call it a day, and we're dealing with a pile of information. So let's just dive deeper into that report now. Go deeper, man of Eagle FM, go deeper. Okay, fine. I mean, they literally get paid to go deeper. The car industry, fundamental shifts are reshaping global car markets. The car industry is, according to the report, undergoing profound changes as electric car sales continue to rise and the geography of global car sales shift. Global car sales approaching 80 million in 2024 and have largely bounced back from their pandemic-related slump. Recently, growth has been exclusively driven by sales of electric and hybrid cars, which made up 30% of total car sales in 2024. And while global car sales pure internal combustion engine, this is your Vrupana cars, while the global sales of pure internal combustion engine ICE cars peaked in 2017 and have since fallen by 30%. So again, who is buying? Whoever is buying is going to make the rules. You know how they say the customer is always right? You can't tell the EU market or the Asian market or the American market, for example, you know what, I know you guys don't eat mutete, but because it's the only thing I'm growing here in Namibia, I want you to buy it. They will look at you and go like, are you nuts? And they'll be right. Why? Because, well, you have the money. I mean, you have the product. It's the wrong product. The question is, who is willing to buy that product? If no one is willing to buy the product, that business is going to be a very tricky one, especially in terms of sustainability. Now, the thing is, the market is always going to change. The customer is always going to have a different way of, doing things. Do you know that in the early days of tea bags were initially made for you to basically, it came in the form of a sachet. You were required to break it and then pour out the content into your cup. The thing is, people kept submerging the sachet in their cups. So the makers of tea decided, you know what? How about we just start making these sachets in something that is porous, in a sense that it's very easy for water molecules to basically go through, and so that these people don't have to be submerging these these sachets that were not made for submersion. Then voila, you have your tea bags. That was a genius move. Why? Because tea makers were basically observing how their customers were consuming their products. And they noticed that there are those that were following instructions by breaking the sachet and pouring out the content in a cup. And there are those that were just submerging the whole sachet in a cup. And then that's how they made their tea. They were like, okay, you know what? That's what the customers want. Let's give them what they want. And right now, we're all using tea bags where we just take and, just submerge the whole thing. And voila. Then you don't have to worry about all the mess of having to filter it after that. Because the sachet itself acts as a container of the coffee or tea, and also a filter. Two birds with one stone. That's brilliant by them. So, if we are going to take the direction of car manufacturing, or actually manufacturing anything, we first have to figure out who is the target market. One, two, what is the income of an average earner in this market, so that you can use the components that are not too high end, so that you are basically overpricing everyone in your target market. Or, yeah, because if you use too expensive components, it's either you sell it cheap and then risk a loss, or you sell it too expensive and then no one in your target market is able to afford that product. So that's why this is where I think the transient idea is a very genius one, because they basically looked at the African market, the large part, especially Central Africa, and they were like, okay, you know what? What is the average income earner of the people in this, of the people in this market? And can we be able to make a smartphone from components that are affordable that we are not risking a loss at the end of the day. And they just nailed it. While Samsung and Apple were like, well, we are not going in that market because, well, those people don't make enough money to afford our products. Transsion was like, okay, fine, I'll take the market. And boy, did they take the market. Now, so if we are going to talk about manufacturing, the first thing we have to look at is who is the target market? One, what's their average income? And can we be able to source different material, different components to produce this product and sell it at this price without risking a loss? Ask Transsion.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Okay, welcome back. It's 15 minutes to the hour of 6, and I have a pile of, okay. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Sorry, man. Bobo, just a Nico.
Not a problem.
Sorry, my lord.
Not a problem. How is the afternoon?
Good afternoon. How are you?
All good. How are you?
Cool, man. I've been listening to you and all this time, you know.
Yeah.
And I say you are a good man, just like myself. We're all good. And everybody. So we are not the best. I'm just trying to simplify my language there.
Yeah.
So otherwise, so you are fine,
eh? I'm fine.
I don't know how, maybe the spirit of God that is reading you. Maybe you are sitting in the position where I'm seated now to really align your discussion, even though I didn't start with you from the beginning. But all the points that I'm listening from you and I'm getting from where I'm getting this kind of information, talking about the market, the consumers, the customers, and all this huge investment. Because the customers, you always feel some kind of impact. The
customer is always right.
I think I tend to agree with him.
Yeah.
Let them be all right.
Don't totally agree. Sometimes they are shoplifting. In that case, they are not right.
That's the problem. That's the problem again.
Yeah.
Like one boy, small boy, man. Very small boy, maybe, and he's even playing soccer. I don't know what really motivated. He has good books for school. And the boy just went in a certain shop, I'm going to mention, and all these things. And he just went there and put some things in his box. And the security get him, very young boy, maybe 13.
Yeah, 13.
And then he even want to fight your game.
You want to fight the security guard?
You know, my brother, they always feel so strong, they like him, want to fight. and then I have to go there and listen. And say, what? And then secretary said, at this point now, it's even very naughty, arrogant. And you can even see the boys. I was feeling pity for the parents also.
Eish, that's every parent's nightmare.
So now, those are some of the things.
To be called and be told that your child was shoplifting.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they do these things. Sometimes it's influence from the pressure from others. But I think there is a serious need for this socialization, especially the boys. I know women also used to lift, sublift, but they are very few now. But those ones, women are professional ones. When they do those things, they do it. Because I've seen them. I've been in winter. So it's something very serious. The customer is always right. Sometimes you see, but I don't support in their behavior. So they have a right because they are these gatekeepers to keep in. But sometimes the customer, the way they behave, you talk to the person and then maybe you now take advantage of that concept. The customer is always right. And you know, and that person will be fired. Because if the person who is selling you has to respond to the way you are approaching the person, you as a customer with all your rights, doesn't matter. They will just talk anyhow. Hey, where are you? So can you come and save me? And maybe the person was just washing his hands to her hand.
Okay, but doesn't that sound a little dumb, knowing that you shoplifted and you're still telling the securities to come and search you? Knowing very well you're hiding something. Like, what?
Those security, my friend, they are trained. They can see you. They even have cameras in their shops there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the dumbest things. Like, why would you still, when you know that there's an active CCTV camera going on?
Is it not like my brother or something like that? I know, precious. I've invested this Namibia Correctional Service. And then you also read some newspapers where they are, this kind of these things. So they tell you that, this one, my brother, me, myself, the way you see me like this, when I came in Windhoek here, so we found some boys. Boys. So, and they, at one point, one of my friend from the same village. So I found them there, and they were also the guys, those boys who were in, also in, we know them here, some of them were here, some of them were exiled, So maybe I understand the social situation and political issues, but does that not mean that you can also get into those kind of
problems?
The first time,
yeah.
Me, I was just introduced to that now gang, now that kind of boys, and I know them.
Oh, you lucky! You never ran into them, all right? Consider yourself very lucky.
Oh, my brother. So now, at one point, and then we say, the guys, they are dressing, they are putting on nice trousers, and at one point, we went in that car shop. You are. Fitting in those kind of clothes. Then throw them, then you went there. You just put it there. You go with two or so. Maybe the security, they are also captured. It's like the criminal justice system that is captured in South Africa. You understand? So that's how they wanted to capture the system. So in that shop, I also...
But you have to understand that to capture a system, you must have a lot of bribe money. Point of correction. It's not bribe money. It's called shut up money.
Shut up money, dirty money.
Must have plenty shut up money. All right, TK.
So thank you now, listen to me, listen to me. How I have to rehabilitate myself that particular day, the first day when I end, I say, Kalunga Kang. So you need to make sure that what was it we were talking about? So you take them, many of them. That was their last day also. I see. No. So it is true, some influence can do that. Pressure and all these things, like a customer can be under pressure and all this comparative pressure that I was listening in South Africa. For us, it's just stupid. I don't know, like on my side there, it's just foolish kind of behavior.
All right.
So now, thank you very much. Let's see how we can protect.
No problem.
The system, our customers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are really, maybe we can also be on their side. So because customers and some of the people inside there, both of them, their attitude and behavior have to be modified as well.
All right.
Good.
So, because I only have 7 minutes, I'm going to read to you now why, even though we're involved in the energy transition discussion and Lesotho and Namibia, we want to take that direction. There was even, talks of, the comparison between electric cars and you know, internal combustion engine cars, which one would be a brilliant direction to take with regards to the decision of, you know, making decision of manufacturing, you know, of industrializing, especially for an, for a small economy like Namibia. What, why this is somewhat, okay, one of the biggest, more like the biggest hoop that a lot of African, more like developing countries, especially those in Africa, have to, will have to jump through, are those from patents. Again, this, when it comes to manufacturing, every decision that we, every decision, more like every discussion about manufacturing is going to take us, is always going to lead to research and development. Every manufacturing discussion is always going to lead to research and development. Because from the research and development, that's where patents, that's where new knowledge, new scientific breakthrough, new, new ways of doing things, you know, efficient ways of doing things, more like, and also maybe, clean way of burning energy, way of doing things. That's where it comes from. But the thing is, we are not very good at investing in research and development. It's going to be very tricky for us to adopt, manufacturing on a full scale that we see in a lot of developed countries in a very long, for a very long time, because again, we are always going to run into patenting problems. Because when it comes to electric cars, since this whole green energy transition is taking place, and our president attended COP30 in Brazil, and that was where, well, we have made several commitments. We agree to the 2015 Paris agreements, Paris climate agreements. So that means if we are going to talk about manufacturing, especially in terms of cars, we have to lean more in the direction of manufacturing EVs or their components, none of which is easy. None of which is easy. Mostly because of patents. Forget the skills, forget the technology, start with patents. According to the report, China has become the locus, that's a fancy way of saying the center. For a center or a place, okay, no, locus, if you did locus in mathematics, it's basically finding a center or a place. China has become a locus for electric car related patent fillings, especially for battery technologies. You can have the lithium. You can mine it. You can process it. But if you're going to make a final product like a battery, and you don't want to risk being sued for plagiarism if manufacturing was an assignment, you'll have to jump through a lot of patent hoops. Patenting activity related to EVs was very low until mid-2000s, according to the report. But had increased ninefold by 2011 compared to in the 2000 to 2005 period. Japan accounted for over half of these fillings, demonstrating the country's early focus on the development of this technology. From 2015, however, China started to become the global center of electric vehicle innovation and had tripled its yearly patenting by 2021. In 2021, 50% more patents on EV were filed in China than in Europe and the United States combined. Over two-thirds of patents related to EVs target innovation in battery and charging technologies, both in terms of charging stations and onboard charging power electronics, while technologies relevant to electronic motor and energy management accounts for around 20% of patents, and the remainder is targeted to plug-in hybrid vehicles. In other words, thereby patents. You can't do it without China. last year, was that last year or 2021? The New York Times published, if you go online and search for, search for a title called, Can the World Manufacture Electric Cars Without China? There's a whole article that was written, I think, but, was that in, I'm not sure if it was last year or in 2021, by the New York Times, where they did one very extensive research and found that it's, maybe you can do it, but boy, is it difficult. It's much easier to do with China than without China. So, in other words, you can't talk about manufacturing, especially about manufacturing cars, and especially about manufacturing electric cars without China. So, in other words, if I were you, I'll be nice to the Chinese.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. So, if we want to take the direction of manufacturing cars or their components, I would actually say, one of those people that, especially in technical terms, that argues that I don't think you can manufacture a car. You can assemble a car. You can manufacture a cell phone. You can assemble a cell phone. The individual parts that are manufactured, it's the individual parts that are manufactured and then brought together to make a complete device or piece of machinery. But I didn't go to private school. What do I know about English? So, since the market of cars is shifting from internal combustion engine into electric vehicles, and China is dominating that market, not just in terms of end products, but also pretty much they're dominating the supply chain. In 2023, the New York Times published an article where they asked a very simple question. Can the world make an electric car battery without China? The short answer is no. And now, because, well, they did give a long answer. The reason behind it is very simple. If you look at the rare earth metals that are used into making an electric car battery, they are, from mining all the way to the end product, dominated by China. Cobalt mining, 41% Chinese owned. Cobalt refining, 73% China. Cathodes, these are your positive parts of the battery. 77% made in China. And you have your anodes, 92% made in China. Battery cells, as in terms of assembly, made in China. Electric cars, 54% made in China. So, if I were you, everyone that is thinking about, okay, should we take the, should we look into this direction of manufacturing like we tried to have that conversation back in April with Lesotho, it's kind of difficult to have that discussion without being nice to China. Actually, you can ask anyone. In terms of the electronic components world, ask anyone, they will tell you. You can't pull that off without China. So, that brings us to the end of our show for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station. And I sign out and leave you in the hands of yours truly, business and economic segment with David. Until tomorrow, drive safe, fasten seatbelt. And I know you don't want to hear this, but you don't own the road. You own the car, yes, not the road. Thank you very much.